Well, it's a privilege for me to introduce the executive pastor from West Salem Foursquare. Is that your title, Rich?
Yes.
Okay. And I want to introduce him as the executive pastor. I also want to introduce him as a very experienced and capable pastor. He's pastored for many, many years here. And I also want to do some as my friend. And he and I have got to know each other over the years, and we're really fortunate to have Rich come and join us. So why don't you come on up, Rich? Give him a hand. Thank you.
There we go. Are we good? Are we working well? Everything's all right? Good. How are you this morning? Good. I like a good, enthusiastic response. So my hope is that we can be as interactive as possible. So if any of you are accustomed to just blurting out smart remarks or anything like that during the course of a meeting of any kind, you just feel free. We'll let you have one, and then the second one will cost you. But you can go ahead, and we can be interactive if it's something you'd like to do. Yeah, I'm. You know what executive pastor means, don't you? It means that they expect me to do everything, and it's everything. We watch over everything over there from what comes in to what goes out, and you can just fill in the blanks as to what that might mean. But it's a blessing to Sandy and I, and my wife Sandy is here with me, and it's a great blessing for us to be serving. In West Salem now, we've planted two churches in our time in the ministry since our 20s. We went out in our 20s. My poor little wife, she was a young girl when we went to Nampa, Idaho, and planted a new Foursquare church there in that town. And that was a tough field to plow. It was like plowing rock, you know, and really putting in the time to try to break ground that was difficult and had been kind of burned over in the past, and not a lot of details to share about that, but just suffice to say that it was tough sledding, as my old pastor used to say back in Minnesota, you know, it was tough work. But we did, and we planted that church, and it's still there, it's still going, and it's now we're 30 some years down the road since then, and we're so thankful for that congregation still going. And we planted again in Aloha, Oregon, in the 90s, and we're thankful for the Lord working in that place as well. We just visited there for the first time since we had left almost 3 years ago now, but a couple of weeks ago we were able to go back, and they let us come back. That's always a good sign, by the way. If your friends will let you come back, then you usually have a pretty solid friendship, and it's a blessing for them to look to us as kind of old hands and old folks in their life now. And I don't look as old as I am, but I think I'll be saying that right up until the end. I think that's going to be my confession. It's for me, it's been also a privilege to be alongside Darren in the time that he's been preparing to come here to Dallas to be with you and for you to gather together as well. And in coaching him as we've gone forward toward this time, there were a great many expectations and hopes and plans and dreams and this house here, I think, is a great gift to you and to the town of Dallas as well, for the church to be planted here again and to be growing up, and for the congregation that was here ahead of this one that went off to a different place in town. We've been speaking blessings over them for a long time and thankful for their time here, but we pray and believe for the things of the Lord to happen, not just in this building, but in this house. And the house is not made up of the bricks and the mortar and the windows and the carpeting and all that sort of stuff. The house is the Lord's house, and He builds it out of living stones. And you are the stones. You're the stones to form the outline of a foundation and that which will go forward in time. And if you're in the place where you're making a decision about whether this is your church, and Darren and Stacy would be pastors to you, and you would receive that as a gift from the Lord in your life, then ask the Lord, Lord, is there any reason why not? Is there any reason why I wouldn't be here and be built together? Not just rocks laid together, but living stones that are mortared together. And the mortar between them, you know, when you build a brick wall, you apply that material in between that then solidifies and holds those solid pieces together. And that mortar is the Holy Spirit. It's the working of the Lord Himself in your lives that He would be between you and hold you together, and that you would relate to one another, but also then look out upon a town and a county and towns around about and people around you, and begin to develop a heart of expectation about what the Lord would do in and through you. That you wouldn't be spectators, but that you would look to the Lord, you'd look to His Word, and you would believe Him for the things that He is and that He promises and says that He'll do through you. Now that's a lot. That's more than just showing up at a meeting on a Sunday, or, you know, just kind of making that optional in your life. You sort of drift in and drift out, and I kind of like it there, and depends on who the worship leader is going to be, whether I'll show up or not, or that kind of thing. By the way, Joshua, where'd you go, dude? There you are. I just wanted to give you a little thrill this morning, you know, that we'd be right up to the minute arriving here, and you might just need to stand and hold forth, you know, and speak what the Lord's doing in your life, but no, just kind of pulled it away at the last minute. We didn't mean to be so late. We were 2 minutes late, but we misunderestimated the amount of time that it takes to get from Kaiser to here. And so we were just a little bit late. Oh, well, and then there was that little stop at Dutch Brothers down the street over here that kind of before we got here. But I want to ask you what your expectations are. In fact, I want to ask you to close your eyes right now, if you would. Just let your eyes close. Lift your head unto the Lord. Don't fold up. But just be before Him. And it's good at times for us to let our eyes close, because it cuts out the things that might distract us or define for us what an answer or a leading might be. But I just want to ask you, what are your expectations? What do you believe that the Lord is going to provide for you? What do you believe He wants His church to be in Dallas, Oregon? And just while your eyes are still closed, would you just speak out in a word, just one word or two at the most? Don't give a speech right now, but just one word or two. What are your expectations of what the Lord will provide to Dallas as a church here right now? What will it be like? A safe place? Okay. Place of hope. Go ahead now. Place of faith. Come on, it's not rocket science. Just come ahead with the things you expect the Lord to do in His church. What do you want to happen? A place of charity, where we give away.
Compassion.
Place of compassion. And somebody said peace. Place of salvation. All right, a place of growth. Okay. Touches needs. Amen. That's right, a place of loving hearts and forgiving, receiving one another in mercy. Lord, we glorify you right now. We just want to lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we speak these words in this place now, trusting that you, the Lord of the church, will build such a place that the reflection of your life, the reflection of your gifts, your goodness, your mercy to everyone who will call upon your name will be seen and shown in this place with great, great love and enthusiasm. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive the promise of your presence right now that you said wherever two or more gathered in your name, you are right there in the middle of them. Just like that mortar that holds the bricks together. We thank you, Lord, that you provide for us these things. And that in this world, these are the things that you provide. We love you, Lord, and give you praise today. In Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. This spring time for me has been a time of great testing, really, in the work and the things that we do in the church, because it's been a time when we sent out a church plant and a number of wonderful people came out here to do their part here. We did some other things in the local church there in West Salem, which everybody oftentimes thinks of as, well, that's such a big place, it's so great, it's so grand, everything's all wonderful and cozy and nice and warm. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of testing there. There are a lot of things that need to be attended to all the time. You know, there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of stuff that, as we look forward into the future, we see that we've got to refinance this and we've got to provide for that, and are we going to still be able to do this and that and the other thing. I don't want to get all detailed for you, but just to say that we need to look to the Lord. It's not just everything's just bang assured and everything's perfect and shiny and the lights are bright and the hill is high and you can see everything from up there. But it's a place where we have to call on the name of the Lord, just like here. It's a place where we have to look to Him and believe for what He will do. And so, to my heart, and I hope that you are growing in your ability to receive from Jesus this way, but in my heart there's been a word from Him in the last number of months now. Goes back now, I would say, I think I put a date on that. I wrote it down on the whiteboard in my office, and I believe I put a date on it, but it would be in the late winter. When the word of the Lord just came to my heart, in which He's saying to me, let me show you how I provide. And it was spoken to me at a time when I would look at our books and I would look at our bills and I would look at all this other stuff and I would say, okay, Lord, go right ahead. Show me how you provide. But right away in that, there wasn't necessarily some big flood of provision that just came in the door or that was poured down from above or rose up in some other way. And so often when the Lord is going to show you things about how He provides, He's going to lead you into character changes. He's going to lead you into tests. He's going to lead you down a cul-de-sac someplace, which is a nice way the French say dead end, you know, but lead you into a place where you're going to need to pay attention to Him. That's the way He works. Why does He work that way? Because He is bringing out of this world a redeemed people. He's not you know, just dealing out great stuff so that you can have a happy life and never die. But you know differently. And what he's doing is refining unto himself a man, a woman, a person of age, a person of youth. Whatever you are in your life, he is working to bring unto himself all of the potential that he created within you. And he does that by redeeming you through Jesus. And then by showing you how he provides for your life. So every day I go into the office and I see that, you know, well, I had written it down myself and it's right there. And every time I would kind of go, man, why does this have to... Oh, and I look up at that thing and I'll go, oh yeah. Now, Lord, help me to see how it is that you provide. I think he wants to show you that as well. And over the months leading up to where we are right now, I would say that for me, there's just been a lot of illustrations of exactly the Lord fulfilling that little leading, that little promise that he put into my heart. And he's showing me day by day by day. And I believe he wants to show you as well. When he shows you how he provides, he will cause you to come to his word. And I want to bring you to one place in it this morning, Psalm 27. I hope that you'll remember the words that you spoke just a little bit ago when I was asking you, what do you expect the Lord to do in your church? You'd maybe make a note of two or three things that you heard others say. You'd put those down and you'd bring them before the Lord and you would begin to say over those things, over your town, over your job, over your life, over your church, what David says here, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Because when we have expectations in life, we'll lay things out and we'll say, this is what I hope for. This is what I expect. Oh God, help me in this. And then how do we respond when the challenges come? The way that the Lord provides for us is by His action, but the way that He leads us into His provision is by teaching us to declare what He says is true, first about Him and then about our situations. When I find myself in a bit of darkness, what He wants me to say is this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It doesn't matter the emotions of the moment. It doesn't matter that the checkbook is down. It doesn't matter that there's all kinds of things that haven't been met yet. But what He wants is a man, a woman, a young person as well, who would simply come to the place where we say, in the face of darkness, danger, and every kind of other thing that's around us, stuff like this that's in His Word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And I would say that in the dark. Not just when the light is shining bright and it's a sunny day. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. David had some sort of an example in his life where something had happened and it had worked out in this way. And he hung on to that and he said, you know what? I remember back there when that began to happen, they stumbled and fell. And then he goes on to project that ahead and he says, well, though an army may encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. In what? What's the this there? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now you say, well, isn't that kind of whistling in the dark and sort of wishful thinking about, oh, won't everything be la-di-da, just cool and great? I mean, how many of us here, besides every one of us, would sit here and say, oh, come on, man. it didn't go that way for me over here, and that fell apart over there. Oh, really? Did it now? Yeah, it really did. What changed in that? Did the fact that He's your light and your salvation change because you had a setback? Because things didn't go your way? Because somebody else chose to go a bad way and it affected you? Don't let it. But instead, declare the provision of the Lord. And in the time when you don't have what you need yet, make it clear to your own soul, your own mind, the way that you're going to go in the next 3 days or 4 days. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I'm not going to act out of fear of this or that or the other thing, or spend my whole time working up a defense for something that might happen but hasn't happened. Instead, I'm just going to confess what the Word confesses. Now, this is not the only bullet that's in here. Take the whole thing. Chapter by chapter by chapter. In fact, if we all took a number right now and turned to a different chapter, and each one of us read through that chapter, you will find something in every section of God's Word that gives you something to declare about the Lord when you need Him. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." Now, that's a very narrow thing to say, but that's something for you to declare. It's something for me to declare in the face of the things of my life. I'm going to go the way of Jesus because He is the way. I'm going to stick with Him when it's not convenient and it doesn't pay me a big paycheck at the time, but I'm going to keep walking His way because He's leading me into salvation and eternal life. I'm going to declare what God's Word says. And you know, grow up from some of the things that we oftentimes function in as Christians, would you? It's really, really not right and not trust, not faith for you to come to a verse like this and read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," and then to turn around and say or sing, "Oh Lord, please be my light. Please, please be my light." You know, there's no maturity in that prayer. And the Lord doesn't need to answer it. He already has. And for me, the place of growth comes when I'm tested and I'm tried and I get to then choose what I will do. That's faith. What I will do is going to be the faith part of it. I'm not going to bring the light. I'm not going to be the light. I'm not going to be Jesus to anybody. Jesus is going to be Jesus. I'm going to confess Him. I'm going to declare who He is. And I'm going to say when it's dark, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Instead of my saying, "Oh Lord, there's nothing for me anymore. I don't know if it'll ever be right again. Would You please, please be my light?" But if you'll confess the Lord is my light, then you'll start to see where He's shining light. If I turn away and I say, I just don't see anything, well, guess who can't see? Just me. But He'll show you His light if you'll begin to declare that He is light. And then begin to look for a lot of other promises and places that you can declare and make clear to your own soul and to the world around you, to the devil who assails you. This is who God is. And He is where I stand. And I will stand in Him. You ever cross a border? Most of us have now. I think most of us have gone to, you know, even just going to Canada anymore. You know, you don't just go up and show them your driver's license and your smile and go on in. You know, you gotta go through the whole drill up there just as though you were going to Russia or Bulgaria or any place else. And you know what you're doing when you come to the border and you show the ID that you have, the passport, and you let the car be inspected and be looked over and all that sort of thing? You are declaring at that point who you are. Now, Jesus has called us into a different kingdom. And every day we cross over borders. We go in and out a lot. We are in the world, but He calls us to be not of the world. And so all along the way, we need to declare who we are and to say who it is that is providing for us. Father God is your provider, and everything that you truly need in this life, I believe that you'll discover by following Jesus. Don't ask Him to follow you. You follow Him, and you will find everything that you need for this life as you follow Him. And by following the Son of God closely, you'll find, we can call them four C's here this morning, and just with these encouragements, we'll be done. You'll find four C's to position yourself to receive what Father God provides. And let's read a little bit here in Psalm 27 again. First one in verses 1 through 6. I left off reading when I'd planned to read all the way through, but we'll just keep reading here. Though an army may encamp against me, in verse 3, my heart will not fear, and though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now to David that meant going to a tent place in the town of Jerusalem where he was king. But we know better now because more has been revealed. And we know that to dwell in the house of the Lord is to be built together with other believers. To be trusting the Lord for what He wants to do. And the first of these four C's is that He provides confidence to light my way with hope. He gives me a confidence. In this I will be confident, it says in verse 3, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. In fact, move your lips just a little bit for a second, would you? Because it's hard to suddenly break into a full run here. But would you just say this with me? Again, verse 1. Look at verse 1. Say it with me aloud and together, would you? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Try it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You can speak right into that place that needs light in your life with confidence. That the Lord is my light and my salvation. Secondly, verse 8. He says, when you said, O Lord, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. While he gives you confidence, secondly, he gives you commands to guide you. Where he says, seek my face, there's a command resident in that. And your response to his command is going to result in how well you can see him. How much light you're going to have in your life. In John 14, 21, Jesus said there, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, that's the person who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. I will make myself real to him. I will reveal myself. There will be revelation knowledge for the heart of the one who does what? Who hears the commands of the Lord and then keeps them. If you don't know what is meant by that, then just think about what's the last thing you know God told you to do? You might need to look in His Word to find that place where you read and you found, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. Or you might have some instruction of the Holy Spirit in your life that told you, don't do that anymore. Let that be a command of the Lord. And the question would be, are you abiding by that command? And then go on from there by looking in His Word and finding more of His commands to obey. Because when you keep His commands, He will reveal more of Himself to you. Now, is that just sort of a mean deal on his part? He's going, okay, come on, you know, if you do this, then I'll do that. I don't think it's that way. I think it's this way. I think it's that when we have the commands of the living God and we abide by them, even to the smallest degree, we move ourselves from a place of disobedience to a place of obedience, and suddenly something opens up to us in the spiritual realm. Something beyond our natural ability to see things changes, and we're able to look and to see more of the Lord than we ever saw before. Test me on that. Go ahead. My email is rich.marshall@wsfc.org. You go right ahead. Obey the Lord and see if you don't see Him better, because His Word promises that you will. John 14:21. Thirdly is this, while He gives you confidence and He gives you commands to guide your way, He also provides changes for your life. Faith in Jesus causes me to be born again. Interesting. The most basic thing that we know about the Christian life is that Jesus said that He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. He came into Dallas that people would come to know Him that don't know Him now. And how's He going to do that? Well, let's walk along with Him and find out how He does it, how He uses us to do it, because we've got a world to reach. And He's going to bring about in us changes in us so that we can walk with Him. When I was a little kid, I used to delight to work beside my dad while he was just doing projects around the house, and then to work alongside of him in a small business that he had on the side of his regular work. And I'll tell you, there was nothing that changed me and directed my life more than just handing Dad a hammer, or then later on having him show me, you know, just you take it here, don't hold it so close to the top, hold it down to the end right there and let the weight of it just come down on the head. You look at the head, don't look at the hammer. You know, and all those kinds of simple things that a boy learns from his dad. But in doing those things, there were changes that came about. There was character that was formed. Now, for some of you, you'd look and you'd say, well, I don't know if I remember a relationship like that in my life. Well, get one. If you haven't had one, then get one. The Lord's given you a perfectly good pastor here. I don't know why. By the way, this is really nice of you to let him go on vacation. He only works an hour a week. I mean, what in the world? What does he need a vacation? You know, I mean, I told him when he came out here, I said, hey, it's over now, buddy. You better go to work and you never go home. That's it. But you let him go on vacation. Boy, I don't know. I'll have to write the district supervisor about that, I guess. The Lord provides changes in your life right to the level of Him saying, I'll just make you be born all over again. I'll provide for you the thing that lets you see even more about how I provide for you. And fourth and last here in verses 13 and 14, and I think perhaps one of the great, great passages that you could memorize in the Bible. Begin in verse 10 and read down the rest of the way here. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, such as breathe out violence. David had trouble in his life when he wrote this. But then he wrote these two verses here, which are a great, great confession. Make it your own. I would have lost heart, he said, or I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He'll provide you the courage that you need to stand and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then wait on Him. Wait on Him. Choose to be a man of courage. Choose to be a woman of faith. One who says, He says He'll provide it for me. He says that if I'll wait on Him, courage will come. I'm going to wait on Him, and then you watch it rise. And you watch and you'll see Him provide. You'll see Him do things in this life and in eternity to come. You'll see Him do things. On every page of His Word, you can find the things that are true about Him. And that's why you should read it often. That's why you should look through it and make notes about it. That's why you should look around you and you should say, Lord, You've shown me light. Now, Lord, help me to work with You and walk with You and be a light along with You. And Lord, I just want to bring somebody near You. I want to bring somebody close to You. I want them to know You. And let's just bow right now before Him and believe that He's going to provide for you. And that He's going to shape your expectations. That He's saving you from what you were and causing you to be changed, to be born all over again. Lord, the things that we say in times like this, sometimes I wonder, Lord, at what You're using them for. But I think, Lord, that You've used some words this morning to encourage the heart of some, Lord, and to bring conviction in the heart of others, to cause expectation to rise in us and hope, and that we would look upon our fellowship here and we would say, Lord, You're building a foundation. I believe it. Now, Lord, cause miracles to happen in and through this fellowship. Help us, Lord, to have courage and boldness and confidence. And, Lord, to trust in You with all of our heart. And if this morning you've not trusted in Jesus yet or not told anybody that you're beginning to, then I just want to give you that chance, because He says that if you'll say before others that you believe in Me, then I will tell My Father. So would you begin this morning, if you're just saying, yes, I'm welcoming Jesus into my life. I want to trust in Him to be my Savior and to change my life. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand right where you are. Maybe your eyes are still closed, but you'd say, yes, I'm going to take that step. I'm just going to lift up my hand and say, I'm trusting in Him in a deeper way, in a new way, more than ever before. Lord, I thank You that when we gather like this, it's good to give that invitation. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon this family here and all of those who happen to be away at this moment, but everyone who's begun to gather and call this place their home, that Lord, the blessing of the Lord be upon you, the word of the Lord be in your mind and on your lips, that you would begin to say the things that are true about Him, and let Him teach you the things that He is making true about you. Help this, Lord, to be a place of peace and growth and salvation and safety and all of the things that were spoken here, Lord, and many, many more. We bless Darren and Stacy and the children there, Lord, where they're just resting today, and pray Your work in their hearts as well. We love You, Lord, and praise You. We look out unto the town and the county, Lord, and in the name of Jesus, we set a call out in the in the realm of the Spirit where people hear in their hearts a call to come unto the Lord, come unto the Lord, come unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Come unto Jesus. He has life for you. We love you, Lord, today. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Amen. Amen.